This is podcast number 4 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson. Today we're talking about the Delphian Project. I'm often asked, so how do I do the well-educated heart? That's the wrong question. I'm afraid that's hard for me to answer. The right question is, how do I be a well-educated heart? That's the focus of our little chat today. There's a simple law in nature that the young always seeks for something to attach to, and once it attaches, it grows to be like that to which it is attached. There's a wonderful talk by Dr. Gordon Neufeld that I'll link in the notes where he talks all about the power of this attachment. He teaches, "You cannot parent the child whose heart you do not have." That's why so much of the work of educating your children has to do with building relationships. And then out of the abundance of your own heart, you'll begin to teach your children. I have something to share with you today that has the potential to fill your heart right up. I was at a library sale a few months ago and I picked up 10 volumes of an old 1913 series called The Delphian Course. I had no idea the treasure I had just brought home for $20. Let me tell you what I've learned. In my Simple Joy presentation, I gave a brief overview of heart education and how by the early 1900s, a wonderful movement among mothers began as they realized their vital role. As the Delphian Handbook says, woman has always recognized as her chief business the task of making the world a better place to live in. In civilization as well as in savagery, men strive for the means of living, and women make the living worth striving for. I know, that's not very politically correct in today's world, is it? We've lost the idea that we need a balance of feminine and masculine working together, and we're trying to make men and women the same. But we're not the same. As part of that movement of elevating the role of women, in 1910, the Delphian Society was formed with the purpose of educating women. It was difficult for busy moms and wives to go away to college, so they brought college home to them. A reading course was designed that would give women the equivalent of a bachelor's degree in classic studies, even if a woman could only spare 15 minutes a day. The study included history, literature, philosophy, poetry, fiction, drama, art, ethics, and music. The focus was on culture, to know the best that has been thought and said in the world, with the aim of personal improvement of each member who, in turn, would lift all of society. In other words, it was all about the business of life, not just the learning of facts and information. It was about making of the mind a mansion of all lovely thoughts. As the Delphian Handbook says, if a love for things worthwhile, the lasting and enduring thoughts and sentiments of men increases, and the desire for wider knowledge is aroused, the hopes and ambitions of the Delphian Society shall have been largely realized. The name was inspired by the Delphian Oracle of the ancient Greece, a vaporous voice of an unseen priestess who inspired wisdom and comfort, which isn't unlike the role of a woman when she has quiet whisperings to the heart of a child in the dark, words of encouragement to a discouraged husband that have influenced and even changed the course of history. When the reading course was first released, it was created for individual study. Women were taught that civilization has always been a race between catastrophe and education, and their efforts would hopefully hold catastrophe at bay. They were taught, for the many problems that confront us, we need understanding, and for the enjoyment of all the beauty in which the world abounds, we need appreciation. Understanding and appreciation were the objectives. Sound familiar? But it was soon realized that understanding and appreciation are barren achievements when unshared, and that practical culture must find expression in the group. No man liveth unto himself. So Delphian chapters were formed where women came together once a month to engage in conversation and share what they were learning. These chapters were non-political and non-sectarian. They encouraged different points of view. Those of various views learned to think together without thinking alike. The benefit both to the individual and to the community of such a group cannot be estimated, they said. Within 20 years, there were over 2,000 Delphian chapters operating across the nation. In the front of their handbook are the words, 10 small discussional groups in the community will do more to create a new way of life than 100 mass meetings with 1,000 in attendance at each. Do you ever wonder what you can do to make a difference? I would say do this. Pull together a group of 10 to 15 women. I wouldn't make it any larger than that, as the secret of the success of these groups is that every member be given ample opportunity to participate. Include mature women whose children have grown, mothers with young children, daughters in high school, single women with no children. Include mothers who public school and others who homeschool. Open your group to all denominations of faith and to all political persuasions. As you learn from experience in time, offer to help additional groups to get established. As the Delphians wrote, who can estimate the value of these circles, which are multiplying throughout the country? Who can fail to see the possibility for the future in thus banding together earnest women of each community? Broader vision, fewer prejudices, greater tolerance must necessarily follow in the wake of centers where enthusiasm for a higher plane of thought is being enkindled. Everywhere are vast resources of the wealth that is most needed today, that of mind and spirit. If we would improve a community, we must first improve the individuals who make up the community. Libraries, art galleries, and museums would be wasted in a village where none could read or write. To make them of any use, the individuals must be brought to improve themselves, and that is the focus of these study groups. When one busy housewife finds time to call another over the telephone in order to discuss with her some phase of the Renaissance or a Bach fugue, or when the conversation turns from personalities to modern poetry or art, we may then truthfully say that the interest in cultural subjects has become an everyday habit instead of an occasional diversion, and this is what invariably happens when two or three Delphians are gathered together. Women who are a part of the Delphian movement turned knowledge into a living force in their everyday lives. Libraries of Hope is bringing the 10 volumes of the original Delphian reading course back into print so that today's generation of women can pick up the torch again and move forward. Volume 1 is now in our store and the rest will be added soon. I've also linked free digital copies in our online library. I've been piecing together handbooks and study guides for clues as to how the study groups operated. Let me share a little what I've learned from the handbooks, and I'll read a lot directly from them. Two arts which every woman needs are conversation and public speaking. Everyone needs to be able to talk well on a variety of subjects, and there are few women who do not need practice in speaking concisely and composedly on a given subject while the attention of a whole group is fixed upon them. Who does not covet the ability to hold listeners in delighted attention by the power of mental poise, graciousness of manner, and command of adequate language in which to convey a wealth of ideas? Americans are notoriously poor conversationalists. The art of conversation is sadly neglected, so much of the work in the group is to practice. While each group can customize their study to the desires of their members, it's recommended that you plan on about 2 hours for your monthly meeting, depending on the size of your group, and your group doesn't have to be as big as 10 or 15. Start with a few of you. Assign the group a certain number of pages to read for the month. If you read about 7 pages a day or 200 pages a month, you would go through the whole course in about 2 years. If you read about half that amount, which may be more doable in many cases, it will take about 4 years, which is roughly the length of time to earn a bachelor's degree, only you're going to be able to do it in about 15 minutes a day. I'm piecing together the study guide questions so that they coincide with this edition of the reading course. There are several editions if you happen to be looking for an original set. So you'll want to look for a 1913 version if you want the page numberings of the study guide to match up. One member of the group is assigned to offer a 3 to 5 minute summary of that particular month's reading to open the meeting, and then each member will be given a chance to give a 2 to 3 minute report. This is where the study guide questions come in. Although a person could just go through and answer all of them, I see them more as a means of directing your thoughts for your report. Look through the questions from your reading assignment for the month and find the one that strikes your interest and create your little report around that one. This is why I suggest you keep the number of members in your group down to a size that everyone can have a chance to participate. Then the leader of the group provides an impromptu 5-minute summary at the end, and then it's opened up for informal conversation about what you've been learning about. And now I'm going to read straight from the Delphian Handbook to help you get a better idea of what this looks like. Delphian programs are not lessons to be recited, but exercises in expressing one's thoughts. They do train the memory and fix the facts of the assignment, but Delphians should not lose sight of the fact learning facts is not the end of activity, but only a means to the end of being a valuable and useful member of society. This part of the program is a training in speaking before an audience. The text assignment is not to be recited like a lesson, but made the basis of a 3-minute talk on whatever the member found most interesting in that assignment. Informal discussion may follow each report or postponed until all the reports are given. The reason why so many reports given in literary clubs prove dull and wearisome might be offered with equal truth in explanation of much of the conversation which is heard on every hand. Neither the club member who is discussing a previously assigned subject nor the ones conversing give much attention to the matter at hand. Not only are the statements and observations mentioned commonplace in themselves, but little or no attempt is made to render them more acceptable by skillful telling. To be sure, some people are so endowed with imagination and power of expression that the simplest incident may become the subject of charming narration, but with the majority, thought and continued practice are necessary to the attainment of proficiency of speech. A primary object of Delphian training is ease and self-expression. Little of one's active life is passed in making reports. Much of it is spent in conversation. For this reason, members are urged to employ the conversational method in chapter work. When you meet a friend, you may say, "Isn't it a beautiful day?" And the person just nods his head and agrees. "Uh-huh, what else is there to say?" But what if that person says this instead? "Days like this reminds me of the spring days when I was a girl on the farm, when the sudden warmth in the pussy willows meant that winter was gone." Instantly, several pictures have been called up in the mind of the hearer, and even though the two have never met, an enjoyable conversation is likely to follow because imagination and memory have been aroused. To observe that it's raining isn't likely to start any kind of conversation, whereas if someone begins, "It was in rain like this that I had a most unusual experience," the attention will be focused on what you have to say, and the other person will likely begin to exchange experiences that she had on a stormy day. In other words, the simplest fact can be given a turn which instantly removes it from the commonplace and makes it absorbing. Suppose someone is assigned the topic, the geography of Egypt. Many a report has gone like this. "Egypt lies in the northeastern corner of Africa. It is a small country. The Nile flows through it, emptying into the Mediterranean Sea. Each year the river overflows, making the land fertile. The delta is low, the valley is narrow, and high cliffs border it as one ascends. Egypt was isolated in early times." Sentences ad infinitum may be added, all in the same monotonous strain. It needs only a droning voice uttering such disconnected statements to put an entire roomful of people mentally to sleep. Suppose, on the other hand, that one with the warmth of enthusiasm starts out, "The region which we know as Egypt is the bed of an extinct ocean, and had it not been for the Nile River, it would be a desert like the Sahara." That one sentence contains more food for thought than the entire paragraph just read. Animated, enthusiastic people are everywhere welcomed, We say there is something contagious about them. This is precisely what the word enthusiasm means, divine fire, which ignites something within us and opens the way to inner communication of minds. Unhappily, for fear of giving offense, poor work is tolerated month after month in many study clubs. While at the start, if members are inexperienced, it is necessary to encourage and hearten them, but in time, each group should face squarely their choice. Which plan should we follow? Spare everyone's feelings day and day and remain in mediocrity? Or once for all, set foolish pride aside and resolve to show improvement month by month? There is no question whatever but that a more brilliant report can be rendered by a beginner if permitted to write it out previously and read it. It is just as true that such a procedure gives little, if any, benefit in ease of expression, while ordinarily it bores all who listen. It is better to give one sentence without paper or notes than to read a brilliant report. The second method, followed for years, leaves one ultimately just as unprepared to rise to her feet and express an opinion when unexpectedly called upon to do so, whereas the one who is able to utter but a sentence the first time will remember two or three the second, and so on. Where papers are taboo, 5 months shows an astonishing progress in ease of expression. Where members weakly insist that without them they are helpless, years will find them making slight advance. It matters not how well adapted a course may be, how carefully prepared, how comprehensive. It is possible to cover a year's study and have little to show for the time so expended, either in historical familiarity or in fluency of speech. It is likewise possible to make such progress during a single year that acquaintances will begin to inquire what has happened. The following suggestions are made. Number one. Since you are pursuing the Delphian plan from a choice and not compulsion, determine to get the most and not the least out of it. 2. Do not aspire to be brilliant, nor be disturbed by the brilliancy of your associates. 3. Prepare in advance your report by doing the necessary reading and investigating. If it aids you, write out the report and see how long it takes to read it. Then, destroy your paper and talk it, aloud if possible. Talk your subject over in the family informally and discuss it just as informally at the meeting. 4. Continually increase your vocabulary. If you learn one new word weekly or daily, a year or two will find you with a much more complete vocabulary, and you will no longer use the same adjective to describe cakes and sunsets, frocks and concerts. 5. Do not hesitate to take topics or to have part in impromptu discussions. Rather, embrace the chance to participate. 6. Invite criticism rather than resent it. You will derive small benefit from a mediocre chapter, but much from one that is steadily and quietly improving. 7. Try to deepen your interest and enthusiasm in life generally. It intensifies your charm, whether at home or abroad. Impatient, bored people are in the majority. Distinguish yourself by growing more and more animated. 8. Have a definite time for reading and study. There are no lightning roads to brain development. Only by sustained effort do we gain anything worthwhile. If one will faithfully adhere to the plan indicated, the habit of regular study, reading and conversation about what is read will grow and make life more abundant. Upon adults today rests the responsibility of the future. In homes where reading is a favorite occupation, the children naturally become readers. Each teacher can tell within a week which of her charges have had this rich environment. It is the hope and expectation of those who have made the Delphian movement possible that a circle of animated members in each community is bound to lead presently to higher standards in art, drama, and music, by means of which the rising generation may be able to elevate its ideas and standards. Well, I hope that gives you a taste of this project and that I've opened a desire to learn more. The more I get into this study, the more I see how perfectly aligned It is with the objectives of the well-educated heart. I want you to feel confident. Forming a study group will not only boost your confidence, it has the potential to build lifelong friends and a support system for you. As Jesus said of Martha, "I know many of you are careful and troubled about many things, but there is one thing that is needful, and that one needful thing Mary chose was to fill her heart, which thing could never be taken from her." I'll be sharing more about the Delphian course in the Well-Educated Heart Facebook group, and I'll just say there are efforts being made to organize this movement, and I'll share more on that in another day. For now, my closing thought comes from Margaret Eggleston on how to develop a rich personality. Quote, "By loving the beautiful, by reading the worthwhile, by filling the mind with those things that are worth passing on, by cultivation of a cheery disposition, by striving toward high ideals. All these things are accomplished with the Delphian Reading Course." Bye-bye. See you next time.